Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death from Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I'm here with Tom and Dom for another exciting episode of Jump Point. Happy Sunday. Hope everybody is having a great morning so far. We've got some exciting stuff lined up for you guys in today's episode. We're going to be talking about future-proofing of Battletech. So we touched on this in some of our other episodes. We got some great comments, generated some great conversation in Discord. So we wanted to kind of follow it up, dive a little deeper down that specific rabbit hole, and see what exciting conversation unfolds with this motley crew. So we're gonna start today with a little rapid fire, Tom's favorite.
Take cover. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, so I got some rapid fire questions for the two of you. So the first question is, tabletop wargaming in the 2030s, is it still a thing or does it go away? Tom, what do you think?
Still a thing. I think there might be some AR involved, but it'll be a huge thing, I think.
You would love that. Dom,
Yeah,
what do you
big.
think?
I think it will be actually even stronger because I think people are desperate for like alternatives to digital. But I think Tom's right. I think there will be. You'll probably have like hybrid models where, like in Battletech, it's like the flex sheets and things like that, where, in terms of classic. So yes, I think it'll be very strong in 2030.
Very cool. Next question. Should Catalyst expand the game, or should they focus on the core offering? And when I say expand the game, I'm talking about sort of the satellite games like Solaris, City Tech, the Interstellar, space battles and things like that. Or should they stick with, classic Alpha Strike? What do you think?
Solaris would be good as a mobile game or as a board game, but they should stick to the core stuff. Oh wait, no, I changed my mind. They should expand.
Dom.
I'd say expand, but I think within reason, because obviously there is so much Battletech stuff, they don't want to convolute it. But yeah, I generally, to the answer that question, I'd say yes, it would be good to have more variety.
Continue with the
Dude, a mobile
Kickstarter
mech
focus.
technology? Oh, so good.
What'd you say?
I said like a mobile Battletech, like 1v1 arena battle. Be great. Be amazing.
We could work on
I'd play.
it. Could happen. Next question. All right, so Kickstarter focus, or should they kind of dial that down now after the second Kickstarter and really dig into the retail focus? What do you think?
No comment.
Dom.
I think they really have to go heavy on retail because I think that's what the competition does. But I think we won't get that. I think they will continue to do Kickstarters because it's free capital and it's like interest free. So why wouldn't they?
It
But I
just,
think
yeah.
yeah, retail is super important.
It just
Take
makes
my
it makes
money.
them seem it really diminishes the brand. That's all
Yeah.
I'll say.
Okay.
I completely understand why, and I think it's great in some aspects, but there's some, yeah, whatever.
We might dive into this some more in our Ready Room roundtable
Yep.
later. Couple more rapid fire questions. Tom, Timberwolf or Elemental Battlesuit? Daily
Oh, L.
Driver. Okay.
Oh, Daily Driver. Oh, Timberwolf. I like to sit
Okay.
high,
Dom.
It's quite
You're in the
hard with that. I think
UK.
I'd go Timberwolf as well.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so worst weapon. You get to equip your opponent's mech with either an AC2 or an Inner Sphere medium pulse laser. Which would you give it, Tom?
AC2. They seem to always miss. I don't know.
If to, well, your question there specifically, what would I give to my opposition? Medium pulse lasers, because
Shorter range, right?
AC2s are just annoying. You can sit at the back, exactly. Yeah, you can just sit at the back and ping them off, and then you have to go and hunt them down. So, but
Yeah.
if you're asking me what would I prefer on my mech, I'd
Oh, I
just
spoke too
prefer
soon.
medium pulse lasers
Yeah.
because I'm an Inner Sphere player and I can make them work, the Inner Sphere pulse lasers, whereas a lot of people struggle with them.
Well, I'm an AC2 guy. All right, so why don't we jump into our interstellar news We got some exciting stuff here, some really great press. Dom, why don't you tell us what's good in the hood?
So, some of you may have seen recently that the Catalyst, on their Bespoke News channel, they released some like really nice comments in the new year about how like successful Battletech has been over the last like 2 and 3 years. And Polygon actually picked that up, did like an article. The title is, I mean, easy to search, just Google it. Battletech is officially one of the biggest names in tabletop gaming right now. That's absolutely true. I mean, the figures are pretty exceptional, actually. I mean, one of the quotes from here is the publisher will have sold 9 million little plastic mech miniatures, which is incredible. I mean, I'm sure you guys remember the dark ages, literally within the lore and in the real world of Battletech, where, you know, and I think there was like quotes, it's a while since I read the actual core article, but it's like they've taken the business from like, is it some like $200,000 business to a $4 million business, something like that. That's just off the top of my head. I'd probably have to go and look into that, but it's very, very impressive. And the, you know, we are, I think 2023, 2024 are going to be like really, really definitive years for Battletech.
Yeah, I mean, the metrics are deceiving. It says they sold 9 million miniatures, but I actually own 7 million of that.
Yeah.
So,
I think so as well, just to, I think to clarify as well, it does say in there that like that's 9 million after the next Kickstarter. So they've been, you know, yeah, so keep that in mind. But I think because the next Kickstarter, I think, is going to be absolutely massive for them. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still incredible numbers.
Incredible numbers, and it's exciting. I mean, I remember when we started the channel, I was, you know, furiously trying to eBay the Alpha Strike plastic boxes. Remember those? Yeah. The old school plastics. Yeah, very cool. And then, you know, the other thing on the news front, though, Dom, is we got there's some positive press I saw on Twitter from Penny Arcade, from Tyco over Penny Arcade. I'm saying something to the effect that, you know, really can't ignore Battletech anymore, right? It's too awesome. So, you know, and they said that was a game they were going to get into on their side. So it'll be interesting to see, which, again, this is a virtuous cycle, you know, for Catalyst, for our channel, for everybody that's a Battletech fan looking for other people to play with in their area, right? I mean, this is a good thing for the whole community. So very exciting stuff there. But as you alluded to, let's dump into the Ready Room Roundtable. We'll do a little chatting about. Let's dive into the distribution model. So we talked a little bit about, you know, Kickstarters versus retail distribution. I actually want to start, Tom, if you can expound for a bit, expand on your comments. It's an interesting thing that you said. We didn't talk about this beforehand. But there is sort of an air of I can't really come up with the right word, but almost like unprofessional or unpolished or like sort of indie type, like, you know, give me your money, right? That this sort of that sort of comes off from a Kickstarter versus like I'm a titan of industry. Pressure.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's very smart because it puts a lot of onus on the fans to do the marketing and to do the legwork to get it to be successful. You know, which is positive and negative, you know, like it's somewhat exploitative to say like, you know, if you don't meet our goal, we're not going to do this. And then they put, you know, stretch goals and it's all very, like I said,
I don't like predatory gaming.
Yeah. I don't like how it leverages people. And then the other side of it is what I was, unprofessional. I would say more like it makes it diminishes the brand. It makes it seem like either they're struggling as a company or they're not established or they don't, you know, have a full-fledged product. You know, you don't use Kickstarter when you have a full-fledged production process, which they have. And I understand, like we've talked to Scroggins about it. And I also understand how risky it is for a company to kickstart themselves a whole new product line. So it makes a lot of sense. I have nothing against them. It's their company. But that's my like impression of it. I would like them to focus on retail. That's also another huge gripe. The really inconsistent distribution and availability at the FLGS is a constant thorn in people's side. And again, what's going to happen is, what would you call it? Like fast out of the gate, and then you run out of steam. It's that same thing over and over. They cycle. And then what ends up happening is it's going to peter out. They're going to go through a cycle where the interest is going to wane because nobody can get it.
If I think back to our reflections on wave one and two, I think I made the comment that they should focus on smaller chunks of delivery, right? Do a land split, it's kind of like what they're doing with
That would be
the
a retail model, you know.
right. Because the two things there. One, it's sustainable to your point, but two, like I'm gonna be honest, like I'm not looking forward to painting another 150 max,
Right,
right?
and pick
It's
up.
much easier for me to digest that and buy two or three lances at a time and paint them up, right?
You're not going to do that with a Kickstarter because you might not be able to get them for a while, you know. So you'll put that order in and get them all, you know. Yeah.
I
So
think
it's
as
interesting.
well, I mean, I absolutely echo what Tom said there, but the one thing I'd say about like brand reputation in terms of how Catalyst operate is that they are in the, I think literally when they did the last Kickstarter, they were in the top 10 of all Kickstarters and they got into like over 2.5 million. Now, I think you really do mitigate the brand issues that you're absolutely right, Tom. It can look a little bit amateur hour if you're not careful. But I think that the really kind of the heavy way that they went in on it and how it, I mean, it's one of the famous definitive
But
tabletop Kickstarters. It's the BattleTech one. So.
but they hadn't already done one that did 1 million or 2 million, right? That was the first, that was just showing the strength of the brand. And again, if this one does more, okay, I'm an idiot, But if it doesn't, then again, it's like, oh, it's not as successful or something like that, I don't know. That's just how I
It
like
will be
brand.
really interesting to see.
I think we talked a little bit about fulfillment. Would you say it's getting better or is it getting worse?
In terms of like retail availability, or we should pull Derek on and ask him. I just saw a conversation with him with the distributor. A whole product line is going through one distributor for North America, and they weren't allowing online only retailers, and it was a whole thing. But that's just Derek specific. But yeah, no, it still seems somewhat hit or miss. I was just in a gaming store down in Georgia, and I saw a bunch of BattleTech. They had stock. I don't really. I'm so full up on stuff. I don't shop at the moment.
We have
So
so much stuff.
yeah, but well, I don't really do market research that way. But
it's
last time I was in Barnes and Noble during Christmas, I didn't see any BattleTech stuff. The books,
okay.
but not any of the specific packs or anything.
So it's funny because I was going to cite that too. I got a gift card for Barnes and Noble, and everybody knows I don't read actual books. I only read like BattleTech source books or like D&D source books.
Or management, theory
Only
books.
when I have to.
Only when you have.
And I couldn't find it. The only thing I could find, they had two Clan Invasion starter boxes on the shelf. That was it. Now, this was, could have been cleaned
Christmas.
out from the holidays or whatever. So that may
Yeah,
not be
I think it's
representative.
that,
But overall, I would say it's improving from my perspective. I do want to talk about the Barnes and
yeah.
Noble
Okay.
thing. Dom,
Yeah.
this is for you. I want your opinion on this. The Barnes and Noble distribution model, and it not specifically Barnes and Noble, but where they partner with a retailer and it's an exclusive thing. Do you think that's a good idea or is it a pain?
No, I think it's a very good idea because I mean, just in case people are not aware how this works, the like in Barnes and Noble case, they pay to have the product created. So, like when you saw the Wolf Dragoon sets from last year, Barnes and Noble financed that. So it's kind of it's a zero risk thing for BattleTech really, or for Catalyst more specifically. The only thing I'd say on that is, I mean, the one restriction is that it will not go to full retail. I think they get like an exclusivity deal for like 6 to 9 months or something, and then it will appear in the Catalyst game lab or in your local gaming store. But I think to some extent, you wouldn't get them if Barnes and Noble didn't pump the money into it anyway. So it's kind of a, well, yeah, I'd rather it be a thing, and then, you know, and it's then on a shelf somewhere that we can get access to, as opposed to it's like, oh, well, yeah, the Catalyst are only doing the car products because they literally don't have enough finance to do these weird and wonderful like releases like the Wolf's Dragoon set. And I think as well, one other point, just to kind of go back to that other point as well, just about fulfillment, I think stuff like this is really important for that, just for like improving the retail side of it. Because if all these kind of, if Barnes & Noble get more box sets and it succeeds, and I know it does because they love Catalyst from what I've heard, because they get a lot more footfall through the door because of them, then that can only be a good thing, right? Like that enhances the brand. It gets Battletech stuff on shelves in major retail outlets.
Let's talk about the state of Battletech marketing. So I'll start with you, Dom. What do you think? And I mean, you know, short and sweet, you know, how would you sum up Battletech marketing?
I'd say that there are improvements to be done. But then again, I will caveat this by saying, that do remember that Catalyst are a very, very small company. I mean, you're talking a handful of people. So I think with the resource they have, they do well. What I will say now, and I will be quick, because I know we're kind of running out of time here, but I think their actual implementation of marketing is phenomenal. And what I mean by that is the final product. So when you, those box sets are gorgeous and they're beautiful for retail as well, because they just fit so gorgeously on a shelf, on a retail shelf. You can't do that with like blister packs, right? I mean, it's the reason why if you go into a Games Workshop now, then you don't see blister packs anymore. It's all box sets. And that's just because the way the shelving operates in bricks and mortar retail and how kind of, you know, like places like an online retailer need to store things. You can't do that with blister packs. It's a nightmare. So I'd say that, yeah. So the final, exactly that, Tom. So the final thing, wonderful. The buzz and the kind of the crux of the marketing campaigns, I think it's okay, but it could be a lot tighter. But again, I caveat it, they're a small team.
Well, I mean, you know, you're being nice and that's a good thing. And I think I agree with you. Like when I look at the final product, I mean, I'm wowed. I think the miniatures are nice. I know, mold lines, but like, I mean, come on, let's talk about where we were 4 years ago, guys. Like these things are really sharp. The next and final question in our roundtable here is, do you think CGL wants Battletech to be that big, or do they just kind of want it to be big enough to kind of run the shop and sustain? What do you think?
Literally no idea. I have no idea what they want out of this game. It's like my understanding without really knowing anything about any of them is like it seems like they're fans of Battletech and they're winging it. I don't know. Like, again, do they have a long-term strategic plan? Do they even have a 5-year roadmap?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they absolutely have a long-term plan.
All right. Well, let's move on. Tom, it's your second favorite. I don't know. Which one's your favorite, the Render Blender or the Rapid Fire? Either way, Render Blender time. Here it is. So we're going to look at one of my favorites, the Whitworth. This is, I think, an absolute fantastic mech. It's a 40-tonner. It's dog turd slow, 4.64, packs twin LRM-10s and 3 medium lasers. Reminds me of like the old school DFA campaigns. I had Slapshot and his Whitworth. I can't wait to get my hands on this one. So, Tom, take us away here. I'm going to get us into full screen mode. Tell us what you think about this Whitworth.
Yeah, I really like. So first off, I like the classic sculpt of the Whitworth. I have fond memories. One of the first mechs I faced off against. I like the updated design. It's a great, great mech. Well balanced. I like the shoulder height. The gun on the head. Everything's real good on it. And it has that like thick extra armor plating on the center torso. So it almost like, when you look at it, you kind of feel like, oh, this isn't going to be a fast mech, right? It's built. And those LRM-10s, the twin LRM-10s are so, they're really well designed here. And also like playing it, it's just a really deadly mech. It's a great mech. And it still has some of that, what would you call it? Like the safari helmet kind of thing going on, which I like a lot. So yeah, I would give this like a 9 out of 10. Maybe 10 out of 10. I'm a big fan of this one. I like it.
Wow, that's high marks coming from you in the Render Blender town.
I know that. Well, again, I have a soft spot for the Whitworth. I love the name, yeah. Bradley Whitworth. Yeah,
I love the safari helmet comment because it reminds there's yeah. literally like a whole genre of mechs, like the Whitworth, the Javelin, the
helmet. Yeah,
yeah,
the Vindicare has a little bit of a weird
Vindicare Trebuchet. There's like a whole bunch that have the. It's like the Lord Helmet yeah. from Spaceballs.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
It is really good. And like the back of the back of the mech also very cool as well. But yeah, this is a great one.
Yeah, which I like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn it around. He's really packing. He's got that shelf going. You could put a drink on that.
Yeah. I'll see if Fighting Piranha has like little heart decals. We can put one on like the left butt cheek.
Yeah, yeah. That's really
good. Oh my goodness. All right.
Time
to close this one down. All right. So we're going to wrap up here with a patron Q&A. I got two patron Q&As. So this one is from 130 in our Discord. He asked, when do we get an updated BattleTech Destiny tutorial? So we recently reworked the rules. It is in the works. I think we will do a tutorial. It'll probably be a one-parter where, you know, we just kind of walk through a game. But, you know, maybe by the summer we'll have something out. I also wanted to do an Alpha Strike tutorial as well. So that's in the hopper. And we got to wait for the studio to get back together and then get caught up on some things. But it is in the works. The second Q&A here is from Weiss Draconis. And he basically asked, how do you rule for custom mechs in Alpha Strike, one per force, one per formation, by tech level, etc.? So when we do this, basically, we have published on our website house rules around refits and modifications, which govern how crazy you can get with your customizations. Okay, so you can't, you know, trade your, you know, medium laser for an AC-20 because you stripped all the armor and jump jets off, right? And that, you know, you can't do that, right? There are certain levels up and down in sort of these trees of ballistics. Think about like hard points from like, you know, Mech Warrior, like the video games, right? Like there's ballistics, energy, missile, right? You can only kind of live within the same family. You can go one up, one down. So, you know, our modifications are not ridiculous to begin with. So it's really not a problem. If you want to run a whole Lance of custom mechs. I mean, we talk about it beforehand, but if you want to do that, great. Kevin was the king of showing up with like the weirdest, right? Like he always had like everything was just move a few pips around, you know, stuff like that. He was always like optimizing.
I don't think it ever worked out for him either, right? I don't remember it ever working out.
No. I mean, and that's the thing. When you have sort of the governing rules around how crazy you can get, like it's not making that much of a difference that it matters. But if you are going like full, like custom mechs, I mean, I would talk with your opponent. I mean, I guess, and just come to an agreement there because it can get pretty weird, especially if you start cross teching and
Yeah. I used to build this mech in one of the online games where I would like take all the heat sinks off and have this like huge alpha strike that would shut me down every time. So I'd like press the A button, I think it was for alpha or whatever it was. Shoot all these people. Yeah, it's really fun. And then wait for
good times. Right. You just wait for it, right? But it didn't matter to wait because like the one target was already dead because it was like arcade style and like, you know, the dudes would kind of come one at a time. Oh man. Well, anyway, on that note, we're gonna wrap this one up. Guys, thank you so much for watching this exciting episode of Jump Point. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. I know we did. A couple of things. One, Ares Games and Minis. Don't forget to check out Derek. Two, Terrainify, amazing stuff there. Don't forget to check them out. Of course, three, subscribe. Please subscribe. We're almost at 10,000. Subscribe, give us a like, leave us a comment, share us around on Reddit, whatever it is that you do in the internets there. Get the good word out as BattleTech grows. That would really help the channel out. And if you want to get more involved, of course, you can head on over to Patreon. A little as $1 a month gets you in on the fun there. And of course, we appreciate all of our patrons for keeping the channel going. Without them, we would not be here. So many thank yous. And that said, guys, we're all wrapped up. Thanks so much for watching. And of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a good day.